Blog Talk Radio.
What's happening?
Science isn't about facts. It's about what we want you to believe.
Somebody kill me!
Radio, where I guess it's at least a little bit encouraging to see that one of our political parties hasn't completely abandoned the concept of personal liberty, personal responsibility, and personal accountability. I am, as always, your host, the Chief, coming to you hopefully a safe distance away from the nonsense that's going on in Portland, Oregon. If you'd like to join the show, the number here is 949-272-9588. Now, I guess I should start off with, some of you might have noticed, well, one or two of you might have noticed, that I was not here last week. I was intended to be here. I was doing all my usual stuff, and for some reason, I simply could not get connected. Happens sometimes to most of us, you know, who deal with Blog Talk Radio. So that's what happened. Now, being, you know, environmentally conscious, big supporter of the Green New Deal, don't you know? Not. But let's face it, I'm just basically lazy. So I am recycling what I was going to talk about last week with a few updates, new things, this, that, and the other. But so far, things are going well. But I do need to caution you, things are a little bit strange here in the bunker today because, not too long ago, an hour or so ago, Mrs. Chief and the Chiefettes all took off somewhere. I'm not sure where, but they left me with the dog that hates me. So should they show up in the next 27 minutes, the dog will start barking. Things will go nuts. So if I suddenly get quiet and start playing music or something and turn off my microphone, I will be dealing with that situation. But the dog just leave, you know, me and the dog, we kind of leave each other alone when it's just us here. So that's cool. Now, back to some real stuff, or starting with some real stuff. Last week I was going to talk a little bit about the conventions. I didn't watch any of it live. Why? Is it that I don't care about the conventions or the government or the future of our country or the differing visions? No, that's not it. It's because I've seen what's going on. I did watch some clips from both conventions, and I knew I didn't have to watch personally, other than if I wanted to comment in detail here, which I don't. But my mind's made up. I've seen what the Democrats have to offer. I've seen what President Trump has been doing for the last 3.5 years. I'm not one of those undecided voters who needs to, you know, get the other views, make up my mind. It's all pretty cut and dry to me. So there's that. But what we did see, from what I've read about it, what I did see, the clips and such that I watched, Republicans, they seem to have put on a better show. Right before the convention, Trump announced a big program that, you know, his plans for the second term, this, that, and there wasn't really anything new in it. It was a continuation of what he's done, what he had tried to do. He's basically running on his record, hoping to use the power of incumbency, which tends to be a pretty big deal. Last time an incumbent president was not reelected was, that I can remember, was Jimmy Carter, and he was in a mess. Of course, the Democrats are trying as hard as they can to convince you and I that Trump is in a mess with everything that's going on. But, yeah, what did the Democrats do? Same old thing. But it's most interesting that nobody even mentioned any of the riots, the unrest, the craziness that's going on in cities all over the country. They just wanted to pretend that it wasn't even happening. Kind of surprising in a way, but you'd think they'd try to highlight it to the, as long as they could blame it on President Trump. But that's wearing thin. They've been trying that, still trying it. But Don Lemon from CNN noticed they've got to start doing something about it because it's not polling well. The people in the United States are not in favor of the rioting, the mayhem, the looting. Even if they maybe support what the rioters claim to be, you know, protesting against, the way they're going about it isn't selling. So that's where that is. And it brings me to, well, something that happened in the last couple of days since my aborted show last week. As I mentioned from time to time, I don't really, even though I'm living near the area of Portland, Oregon, I usually say I'm coming from Portland. I'm actually, you know, safely hidden away in the bunker in an undisclosed location about 15 miles away from the ground zero of the mayhem. But it's gotten to the point where I have to pay a little attention. Not so much for my safety. I live out in the burbs, nice little leave it to beaver kind of neighborhood. You know, I can stand out in front of my house, look up and down the street, and there's people walking their dogs, not wearing masks, kids playing. I can see, looking up and down the street, half a dozen American flags out in front of people's houses, just from in front of my house. So, no, I'm not living in Portland, but one has to wonder. A few weeks ago, I talked about just a minor altercation that happened in my little city. No big deal, but, well, it's gotten so out of hand that a few things have happened. A few days ago, we had a man, there was basically a motor parade, going from Clackamas Town Center, which is about 10 miles from Portland, from downtown Portland, and they got in there, gathered in the parking lot. Clackamas Town Center is like one of the biggest malls in the Portland area. And they got in their cars and they drove to downtown and something happened, some altercation. A guy got shot. So it's getting real. When people get shot, it gets real. So, of course, the mayor of Portland, he came on the television Sunday and, you know, to talk about it along with the police chief. Mayor Ted Wheeler, true to form, he said the whole thing was President Trump's fault because reasons. He's divisive. He's the cause of all the rioting. Yo, Ted, newsflash, ain't his fault. The rioting wasn't in response to President Trump sending a few federal officers to protect federal property. The officers were their response to the rioting. So, yeah. Well, a couple further developments. I just read about today. Well, it's getting real for the mayor. Since some rioters moved about a half mile north of Ground Zero in downtown Portland to a little area called the Pearl District. Nice little kind of upscale urban apartments and, you know, little shops, that sort of thing, that kind of neighborhood. An urban neighborhood, but not right in the central business district. And one of the residents there is a guy named Ted Wheeler, the mayor of Portland. The rioters tried to set fire to his building. Well, by gosh and by golly, the mayor has decided that this is now a riot because it's come close to his house. All the people in downtown, the shop owners, business owners, people who having their businesses vandalized, have their customers scared away, that's not a riot. That's a peaceful protest. But get to the mayor's house, yeah, now we got a riot. Oh, what can I say? I also saw this morning our governor, Kate Brown, openly bisexual. If you see a picture of her, she looks like she should be. She has a plan. She was been working on something where the neighboring jurisdictions, specifically the city of Gresham, which is the second largest city in Multnomah County, where Portland is located, and also the sheriff's departments from Washington County and Clackamas County, would send in some officers to help, deal with stuff, and maybe Portland would reimburse them for overtime or something like that. And, well, the sheriffs of the counties and the city of Gresham all said, ain't going to do it. Like to help, but no. We're not going to send our officers into your city to risk their safety if you're not even going to press charges against anyone we arrest. And that's what's going on. They do make a few arrests, book them and let them go, and no charges filed. I am glad that my sheriff in Washington County took that stand along with the others. It's just not something you should do. But, okay, halfway through the show, because I talk about all this to a degree because it brings me to what I wanted to talk about last week and this week. The title that I had last week was Dictatorship for Dummies. I refer to that from time to time. It is a non-existent book, you know, you've all seen the Four Dummies books. This is about how to be a dictator, something I just came up with. And the point I usually make about it is, what happens after dictators take power? Not so much how to take power, but what to do after you take power. And what you do with the people who helped you gain power, the revolutionaries, so to speak. I was having some flashbacks or something, you know, to my days of my younger adulthood when I wasn't quite a geezer yet. And I came across something on YouTube. There's a couple mini-series, one from 1983, I guess, another from 88, based on Herman Wouk's books, The Winds of War and War and Remembrance. And I watched the entire thing. Now, that the Winds of War was like 14 hours long, the miniseries. I think War and Remembrance was well over 20 hours long. So, yeah, I spent a few days watching those. And, yeah, a lot of that had to do with dictatorships, Nazi Germany most specifically, a little about Japan. But looking at that, I came across another movie. I don't even quite remember the title of it. I had not seen it. Something about Portrait of Evil, Story of the SS, something like that. And it was sort of like the Winds of War, War and Remembrance, and so far as, like most of these types of historical movies, it revolved around a few fictional characters and their fictitious interactions with actual historical characters and situations from history. And the two main characters were brothers, one kind of idealistic, the other rather practical. And the idealistic brother sort of got caught up in the, this took place in Germany in the 30s and through World War II is when the story went. And the one brother, the idealistic one, sort of got caught up with the SA, the brown shirt stormtroopers, and somewhere along the line became the driver for Ernst Röhm, the leader of the stormtroopers, good friend of Adolf Hitler, helped bring Hitler to power. The other more practical brother came under the influence and tutelage of Reinhard Heydrich, who was the number two man in the SS, and he became an up-and-coming officer in the SS. And it sort of carried on to what happened when the Night of the Long Knives, where Hitler dispatched the SS to take out the SA, all of the leaders of the SA, because he saw them as not getting with the program, because they were the revolutionaries, kind of like the useful idiots. Oh, I just might mention, I hear Mrs. Chief pulling up. So if the dog starts barking, oh well. The useful idiots. And what the money quote from this whole movie was from the brother who was in the SS talking to Reinhard Heydrich. And he observed, who needs revolutionaries when the revolution's already been achieved? You get rid of them. That's what happens every time. You have your useful idiots. And then you have the people behind the scenes who pull the strings. Once the revolution has happened, they've taken power, the useful idiots somehow become very useless and also somewhat dangerous. What I've noticed today is things aren't going according to the plan, really, or maybe they are, and I'm not aware of it. I'm not aware of it because what I'm seeing is we're seeing all the ideas about, I don't know, it's like thought control, cancel culture, stifle free speech. If you don't agree with what's going on, you have to be, you're canceled. You're not allowed to speak. And this is like so reminiscent of what we saw in, you know, George Orwell's book, 1984, Thought Police, that sort of thing. But also, we see like the toppling of statues. We see what's going on with, I don't know, it's basically almost like your basic book burning. And it all got me to thinking about something. You look at like ISIS, the Taliban, they tried to erase history. It's just like 1984. And it got me to thinking because something I saw a couple weeks back, it was even mentioned at the Republican convention, but think back to, I think it was about 1967. Okay, I'm old enough to think back that far. I remember. In China, they had something called the Cultural Revolution. Yeah, it was all these people, sort of like revolutionaries, but not. They were the big supporters of Chairman Mao, and they all were waving his little red book, and they were toppling statues, rounding up the so-called counter-revolutionaries. May have been like the actual former useful idiots, now useless, had their kangaroo courts, re-education camps, all that sort of thing. Does that sound like anything we're seeing lately in the United States? Stifle dissenting opinion. Now, it's all historical. We've seen this before, except it's not the same. Because what Mao did and what Hitler did, as far as the Night of Long Knives, where he got rid of the SA and all of a lot of the censorship and the things that goes on. This was to remove the history so that their truth became the only truth. And it is something traditionally done by dictators after they're in control. what we're seeing so much in the public square these days seems to be the action of people who think that they have already won. I don't know about that, but maybe I'm missing something. I thought it was still going on. I thought we were still trying to figure this out. No. Erasing history is not the means to achieve a revolution. Erasing history is, it's a mop-up operation. Most of us here don't think they've already won, but I don't know. Simple fact of life for you. Somebody is living in a dream world. Don't know, is it us? Is it them? I hope it's them. Sometimes I kind of wonder a little bit. But I am getting short of time. There's things going on in the background here. Let me see. Now, I really don't have time to do a whole lot else. So I think I'll just let me see. I normally would, at this time of the show, or this would talk about tune in to tap into the truth, but I guess he is not doing a show until Friday. I don't really have a whole lot of time for any other things, so I think what I'm going to do right now is I'll just play a little music from my former shipmate, former fellow Navy chief, Eddie Walker Jr., and leave it at that. Till next time.
Sailing out on the sea make a sailor so lonely. Way, way, thinking about her, thinking now about being home with the lovely. Since he can't be there, on the sea, thinking about her. Yeah, it's all so true. Sad parts, every shade of blue. His life, every shade of blue. Underway. Is her when he is sleeping, he dreams. Special, magical place in her arms. In his mind, he can get away. From wave to wave on the ocean, he's dreaming home of his baby. Be with her someday, maybe. He loves his baby, but now his life is every shade of blue. Every shade of blue. Even without her on the sea, his life is every shade of blue without her.